Okay, it's on.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:30 a.m. Clerk, the next item on our agenda is roll call, please.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Keane. Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Here.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is prayer. Congressman Tillman, would you like to render a prayer this morning?
Of course. Thank you, Madam Chair. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we just thank you, Father, for the love that you give us, the love you share with our families, our children. Continue to watch over us with your mercy and your grace. Protect our loved ones wherever they may be, especially our women, our children, our elders. Please be with our veterans wherever they may be and comfort them, Lord. Be with all the leaders of the Osage Nation as we continue to conduct business for the Osage Nation. And we ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes. And those were in your invite, but also I sent out support docs for you guys to just see one document. I apologize. Find what day that covers.
Chairwoman.
Yes, sir.
Page one on ONCA 2152. It's spelled out, but the numerical amount is not listed.
Hey, clerk, did you get that?
Yes.
Thank you. Can everybody mute your phones, please? Thank you.
Motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. The minutes have been approved. The next item on our agenda is item number five, which is an ARPA appropriation. Oh, sorry. Apologize, Jordan. It's the ARPA appropriation report from budget analyst Jordan Frazier. I've asked Jordan to kind of give us an update as to where we are right now with committee spending. Go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning, committee members. There have been no changes to the available funds since the prior committee meeting. $4.6 million in tribal funds are still available for appropriation, and $108 million in American Rescue Plan fiscal recovery funds remain available for appropriation. As of this morning, the second payment of fiscal recovery funds has still not been received from the federal government. So far, 13 bills have passed out of committee. 12 of those bills have do pass recommendations and would appropriate a combined $100,298,500 if enacted as currently written, leaving $8,021,907 available for appropriation until the second payment of fiscal recovery funds is received. One bill, ONCA 2163, has passed out of committee with no recommendation. It would appropriate $2.5 million if enacted, but it is my understanding that the sponsor intends to withdraw the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Are there any questions to Jordan at this time from the committee or any other Congress member? Okay, if not, we'll move on to item number six, which is the consideration of ONCA 21-69, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch in the amount of $344,825 and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor, and so I'd like to turn the meeting over to my vice chair, Congressman Walker.
Okay, I'd be glad to chair. Kind of been since you are live and in person, I sure don't mind if you want to run the meeting.
Okay, that sounds fine if the committee's okay with that.
I'm good with
it. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Congressman Walker. So this legislation actually deals with a lot of important items that would affect the ARPA dollars. I sent you support docs, and so I'm asking that you go to the budget that was submitted to us. The other numbers you can find in the section that was attached to the bill, but more so I want to talk about the salary and wages. You'll see a salary amount for a COVID task force coordinator. This amount is from July until the end of this fiscal year, and that's at $14,161, and that includes a merit pay of $212. They also have submitted 10 positions at $50,000 a year average for a total of $83,300, and so if you remember the time frame, it would be just through the end of this fiscal year. Of course, those with wages would include fringe benefits in the amount of $29,302. And so I kind of wanted to just talk about that a little bit before we move on to the other items. So, James, are you on the line? Sir, I'm sorry, I can't see whether you're here or not.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to talk a little bit about the positions? And I don't mean to put you in a bind. I think the task force coordinator is yourself. So, but maybe you could give some, if you want to talk about why there's a need for a coordinator and maybe the part-time positions.
Sure. If you remember, I was made the COVID task force coordinator for the CARES Act. That was an amazing bit of work that we did in that short amount of time. And while I was doing it, I was also the housing director. If it wasn't for my incredible staff helping, there was no way that I could have done both be the housing director and the CARES Act COVID task force coordinator. Chief Standenberg asked me to continue under ARPA, and knowing that this funding potentially would be about four times what we received last time, and that this funding would be out over 5 years, I asked that I be made a full-time COVID task force coordinator, because it would not be fair to the housing department nor myself to do both at the same time. So I'm 100% ARPA from here on out. The other positions, it's just an estimation. Like I said before, we can spend this money all the way through 2026. It was a difficult exercise to come up with exact numbers for over 5 years. So the budget that we initially proposed was $10 million. That budget, $10 million would come out to, we're assuming that that we'll get somewhere around $165 million total. That $10 million request originally was about 6% of that. Assistant Speaker then requested that I submit a budget on a yearly basis. I did that, and that was about $2 million a year is what that came out to, which would reflect in the $10 million. And then after that, she requested that I submit a budget just for the remainder of the fiscal year, which would be through September 30th. So then I multiplied that budget out by 2 months, and that's why we're at the $344,000. Those positions, again, the 10, that's just an estimation based off of what we needed under CARES. We do not have any specific positions exactly lined out and ready to go quite yet, because we don't know what our full scope of work is going to be until we get everything appropriated. So a lot of these numbers, we're going to contract out the accounting, our third party administrator. We're going to have a lot of expenses that are unknown going forward. And so I'd like to express my concern that by appropriating this for just a portion of a fiscal year and then just a fiscal year, that our funds, we need to keep that in mind that we're going to need this money. And if everything gets appropriated out and we come back to the trough next year for more administration money, we'll need to keep that in reserve.
Okay. Thank you, James. I have a question. So I see that your position is in here. I'm curious as to why the other task force members' salaries are not included. And the reason I ask that is I know one of your task force members is actually paid out of IDC. You have others that are probably being paid out of tribal funds. I think your position was being paid out of housing, which is a NAHASDA grant. And I'm just going off of the members that I'm aware of that sit on your committee. Why wouldn't we use some of the ARPA funds to pay some of their salaries instead of charging our tribal budgets and our grants? I don't even know that that would be allowable. And I was just wondering if that's something that you guys have considered. I'm more concerned about allowable wages being charged.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We would need to keep timesheets, and that's is not something that we were looking at right now.
James, isn't that something we do though currently with our other federal grants, where we have supplemental tribal dollars? Don't we have to keep those timesheets?
Correct.
Time has been spent. Okay. Well, I was just, thinking if we're going to use the ARPA dollars for these ARPA projects and time spent, why we wouldn't, allow for money for the whole task force. And that would kind of provide some relief to our tribal dollars. And I honestly don't think we can charge grants that have a different scope for time spent.
Yeah, and that's something that we could definitely look at.
Okay, well, since I have this in the committee today, I just wanted the committee members to be aware that might be something that we may want to consider. Let's talk more about the 10 positions. I had a conversation with the director of operations, I believe it was recent. I can't remember which day, but I was wondering if Casey could talk more about the specific positions. I believe you had mentioned some positions in accounting. So here's what I'm seeing, and I may be way off, but this was the convo I had with the DO. I believe with all the projects that are going to be coming our way, where I see the programs that would be affected, of course, would be tribal development. As we're aware, they do not have support staff at this time. I think Historic Prez would have to do a lot of reporting for the Section 106. And for our trust and restricted properties, they'd have to do reporting as well. We also have the roads department, who's also working on other road projects, like with our casinos. And I think tribal development would probably be working on the Wake and Iron Chapel right now. And I think there was, the senior housing in Pawhuska. So I'm just was wanting to talk about that and any of the support positions that we would need in the part-time. And Casey, I was just wondering what your thoughts are about that, so we can maybe try to be more specific in the actual positions that we're requesting.
Okay, yes, ma'am, Madam Chair. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Casey.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that conversation was Monday or so. You are correct on some of these positions that we're talking about. And what we have to remember, these are either going to be part-time positions or three-year temp positions. You know, we do have in the upcoming budget cycle, regular budget cycle in September, we have requested an increase for historic preservation for more permanent positions because, you know, expanding our territory, the amount of projects that we have, expanding into Missouri, you know, our folks go all the way from Kansas and Oklahoma up to Ohio. So they're pretty strung. They get pretty strung out. They've got a lot of work to do. So with the ARPA funds, there are some temp positions for historic preservation to handle these ARPA projects specifically. So they wouldn't be working on, say, out-of-state stuff or casino stuff or things like that. They'll be working on ARPA-specific projects. I want to say, and James can correct me on that, I think we're looking at three to help with all of that. Accounting, we're going to use, I believe, I don't want to throw out any names of companies because I don't remember who all we've been talking to. But we're going to farm out the major ARPA money, the 100 and whatever, 50 million plus ARPA funds to an outside accounting firm. What we found out with CARES, that really put a serious strain on an already strained accounting department. However, we do have extra ARPA funds coming in from different agencies. So, and I haven't really done an in-depth discussion with Tyler about it yet, but we're looking at getting some help wanting to deal with all this extra ARPA money that we have from different departments. I'm trying to remember everything. I'm sorry. I'm not at my desk right now. I'm away, so I don't have access to everything.
That's okay. I really want to take this opportunity to use the ARPA dollars to have a support to support you guys administratively if we have the dollars and it's allowable, which it sounds like it's allowable. I just want to make sure that we get everybody in the right places so that we don't affect any of the projects. And so Congresswoman Stabler, do you have a
Had a question while we're at this point. So these positions that are going to go into historic preservation, and evidently you're going to have some positions you're going to leave in accounting as well, but they will be paid from the ARPA funds?
Yes, ma'am. That's the intent.
Okay, good. I just need clarification. Chair, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Casey, real quick, and then I'll get to you, APC. What about tribal development and who else was it? Roads program. What about support staff for those departments?
Roads, we haven't really discussed that with Justice. Pretty confident that they can handle the projects they've got. And again, you will see in the upcoming budget cycle permanent positions for tribal development, not something that's going to be temporary. That's kind of our thought process, is if we're going to request permanent folks, then, just dealing with projects, a construction project is what they do anyway. So it doesn't really make a difference whether it's ARPA, whether it's tribal money like Wake and I. The projects are what they are. They're construction. So,
okay, thank you, Casey. Assistant Chief, do you have something you'd like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Casey or James, would you care to help everyone understand in some kind of characterization how we're approaching ARPA as opposed to CARES Act in terms of not having our normal frontline employees engage this? They all have plenty to do already, and how we plan to use either temporary or outside entities or people to help us through this situation. And I'm kind of wanting you to characterize that perhaps by department, perhaps especially in accounting and other departments that that will help support this whole effort. Can you give us an overview of that, of how we're going to do things differently in certain departments?
Yes, sir. I can give you probably the easiest and most visible example, and that would be our financial assistance and constituent service guys and the accountants dealing with the individual payments to Osages. They did an outstanding job, but they were overwhelmed. I mean, it was a massive, massive undertaking, and stuff got pushed to the side. Normal operating things got moved and delayed because we wanted to get these payments out as fast as we could, and people still complain, and these guys were working extremely hard trying to get this done. And, there were mistakes made, which happens. Nothing was anyone's fault. It was just the system was overwhelmed. We didn't have the, first of all, the expertise to handle something this big. And secondly, the manpower. And we used some of those CARES Act monies, just like we're going to try to use some of these ARPA funds to hire temporary folks to help process, all of the applications. And, they were getting sometimes 1,200 a day. So if you can imagine, and Congresswoman Rivard, you've worked in financial assistance, 1,200 apps a day, That's a huge undertaking. So, you know, those are lessons learned. We've been in contact with the folks that run the health card, and they've already got the systems in place to do basically the same thing. So we look forward to it being quicker, more efficient, and with not as many mistakes. Now, again, there has to be checks. There was some fraud committed, double checks sent out, you know, checks sent to the wrong folks. So like I said, our guys really, really did a good job, and they really worked hard. But, you know, we're hoping with somebody, a business that actually does these things, does it more quickly, more efficient, and with less error. And that's the biggest, like I said, most visible example of what I can, you know, what I can tell y'all is that was one of the biggest lessons learned. The same thing with the accounting. You know, we had accountants handling individual payments because everybody wants their check. And, you know, I understand that. But when you're getting $1,200 a day trying to process those things, you know, it's extremely difficult. And then, you know, you're overwhelming them with the regular duties of everyday programs. Then you throw on top of them CARES money, and then you throw on top of them individual payments. You know, again, the accountants worked extremely hard. They worked late hours. They worked on weekends to get all of this accomplished, and mistakes were still made. So that's going to happen. There'll be a mistake here and there. I don't care who you are. But we believe that utilizing an outside firm to just do the big giant ARPA money will help streamline every process that we have. So those are the biggest, most easily identifiable examples.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair.
Yes.
And I also might add that the Casey is correct. The accounting and the financial assistance are the biggest burden that was placed on under CARES and will be under ARPA. Additionally, tribal development had a huge demand put on them with the construction, and we'll have that same demand with all of the projects we have proposed. That's why we're hoping to, we will hire an owner's rep that will take a lot of that burden off of tribal development. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Congresswoman.
Okay, thank you. I think all the comments from Assistant Chief and James and Casey, I don't think it's convincing us that this is what you need to do. We're in agreement. I think just looking at the budget, are your part-time positions, I've got two questions, part-time positions, are they full-time part-times, which means they'll come with benefits? And the other part of that question is, like in accounting, this is the stumbling block, and I think we're all driving the same situation home, is in such as accounting, because they handle so many accounts at a time, everyone is a priority and no one gets to be a priority. And so if we're going to make these full times, you know, temporary full times with benefits and stuff, then hopefully they'll all be paid with the ARPA dollars. And rather than disturb the current situation going on in Treasury, would be an add-on to it. So I think that's all that was all just that we're curious about. Not really whether you need them or not. We agree. You need all these positions.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you. And what we're getting at is that I think that you're in agreement. I think that you really need to look at your task force and make sure that they're getting paid with compliance in mind. And also on your part-time now, I feel like you guys have a good plan. It's just not reflected in the budget that was submitted. So, let's move down. I think your other operational expenses, were supplies and postage. That's pretty, that's at 17,993, it looks like, till the end of the fiscal year. And then you have rental and equipment maintenance. Those are normal. Copier rental and just equipment rental. The next question, and again, this is another one with compliance or a little bit, because I don't know, and maybe some of my colleagues could help this along, but you're charging IDC, and you've told me that that's allowable under the ARPA guidelines, and I would imagine that came from your consultant or your or the attorneys that we have. So I just want to make sure that that's something that we're allowed to do, is to charge IDC on ARPA. Is that correct, James?
Yes, it is specifically allowed.
Okay, so with that in mind, typically Congress will, you submit an IDC budget, since we consider that a recovery and the law says that we authorize that spending. And so I'm gonna need you to submit an IDC budget so that we can authorize that spending so we know where it's going. I think I've already requested that, but I haven't seen anything. And then professional fees we want to discuss, which are very important. So let's go down the line and you kind of talk about that a little bit so we can make sure that you're getting enough money. So most of these professional fees usually come with the contract. And I think you and I talked about that a little bit. So you want to talk about who is the native advisory at $96.50 a month? Who would that be?
Lacey Horn.
Okay, so she's our consultant that we're using to help decide what are the ARPA funds and how we use them are allowable, correct?
Correct.
Do you have a current contract with her?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Congresswoman Stabler.
Well, I just happened to think, because this is kind of the first view of the task force and stuff. So with all this money, what role is grants playing in any of this? Do they have a role? And
grants is more involved with the programmatic ARPA money that is coming down. Since this is just open-ended, we can do what we want with it within the final rule. Grants is really not involved with this.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So, thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. That's a good question. So is grants not, who's applying for the supplemental funding with the ARPA dollars? So housing, child care, and the clinic. So we know we've received a lot of supplemental funding. Who's managing that and doing the reporting at this time? Is it not grants? Is it your task force?
No, it's grants and the individual directors.
Okay, so you might want to think about them getting some support just to deal with the ARPA and charge some of those wages as well. Just a thought. Okay, so you have a contract with Lacey at $96.50 a month. And what about, who is Venables?
David Mullen.
Okay, that's his law firm or something?
Yes.
Okay. So those are attorney fees. Who else? Who's providing guidance to us on whether these funds are allowable for each project? Gable and Gott.
Dean Lucy.
Okay.
Gott Walls.
And then, of course, we know Terry Mason Moore. And I'm glad we're using Terry because you know we have that Osage preference with regards to who we use, so I'm glad we've got Terry Mason Moore. I think that question had come up before with other attorneys, so I'm glad to see we have Terry. Let's talk about BKD accounting. Is that the firm we're using to offset some of the stress we'd have on accounting?
Correct.
And we have a contract with them?
We have a service agreement. We're still working on the scope of work. the scope of work will be dependent upon what ends up being appropriated.
Okay, and then most importantly, I think RT Consulting, we all know, handle our health benefit card, and they are the firm that we're going to use to send out the direct assistant payments?
Correct.
Okay, so we have a contract in place with them right now?
I'm not exactly sure. Casey might know. Jason Zahn was negotiating that. He's out right now. But we have an agreement with them. The biggest question was, do they have the capacity to handle the workload that will happen whenever all these applications start coming in? And they were confident that they could handle it. So okay. they're going to charge us what the rate is for the health benefit card.
So is Jason on the line?
He's out.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, why don't you follow up with that if you could, James, so we know kind of where we are with RT Consulting, because I would hate for us to. So we're thinking that they're going to agree to do that. Is that correct?
Oh, and they're completely on board. And in fact, they call almost every couple of weeks wanting to know, hey, you know, are we a go yet? Are we a go yet? So they're on board.
Okay, good. And the Osage Nation Historic Prez, is this for their reporting that they'll be doing on the projects?
Right. And this is where it gets a little touchy when we talk about hiring additional employees for historic preservation, because historic preservation will then charge the project for the survey. So that's something that we're going to need to work out, whether or not we just pay for the service and they hire extra employees knowing that extra work will come in, or we hire employees and then they don't charge us for the survey. That's a detail to yet be worked out.
Okay. So what about your owner's rep? You mentioned, I think a couple of times, owner's reps. Do you have an amount for that, for those guys?
We do not. And again, that decision that came through after we had submitted budgets. And it's again, why it's good to have, you know, originally I had a money just an other that would be, you know, kind of a catch-all. You requested line item budgets, and so it would need to be amended to include that.
Do you have a figure you're gonna suggest?
Not right now. I would need to maybe Casey knows.
Amend it later.
Did somebody? Who was that?
Casey, I think.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions? I think the other amount in here is equipment acquisition for $5,952. I believe that I feel like this could use more work. But I'll leave it up to the committee. But as the sponsor, I feel like this budget might need a little bit more work to be more, to make sure that we don't miss something. Because I don't anticipate addressing this budget again until CJO, unless we come back into special session, which I don't mind.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Brandy. I'm not on the committee, but may I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We were talking about RT Consulting a few moments ago, and there was a couple of questions that I might have missed the answers, and I do apologize if I did. The first one has to do with the RT Consulting piece of it. So you mentioned, Mr. Wygant, that RT Consulting's, you know, they feel like they're ready to go and they can do what we need them to do. What does it look like for our people on the other end on receiving the payments? Are we talking electronic only, check and electronic? As far as the contract goes?
Sure. We hope to have this function exactly the same as the medical benefit card. If you have a wire transfer information with them, they will be able to handle that. If it's a paper check, they will handle that. It will just be the same thing. You've got a $500 bill for a doctor visit, and the way that you would submit that, it would basically go through the same process as it is now. And then when you receive your $500, it would be your reimbursement for your COVID cost loss.
Okay, thank you. So you'll they'll have the ability to utilize electronic or paper. That was my one question.
Exactly the same.
And then, Congresswoman, I'm sorry. What?
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Were you finished?
I have one more question, ma'am, if you would don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. This is what I may have missed. Earlier, Congresswoman Stabler asked about the part-time positions and understanding their, are they part-time, like she said, like 20 hours or less a week, or are they, I mean, how are you looking at those?
We're looking as temporary full-time with benefits.
Okay, so that was more than, that's not necessarily part-time then. Okay, thank you very much.
Good, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress? Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Chair Rebar.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw, and then Congressman Tillman.
This isn't necessarily a question. I just want to make sure that I understand. This budget is for the next 3 months, right, to carry through to session where we will look at the budget again for the year, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I feel comfortable after going through these items. I feel comfortable that we would be ready to send this out to the floor. My opinion. Thank you.
Okay, Congressman Tillman, and then Congresswoman Stabler.
Okay, I just a question for Mr. Wiegand. It appears that there is a I think we've called it, we had a CARES advisory team who's now the same people for our ARPA advisory team. And, you know, we've heard the names of several of these members of this advisory team that will be either on contract or paid in one fashion or another with ARPA funds. And I believe you'd named everyone listed on the advisory team except the Attorney General of the Osage Nation. Is he also included in getting compensation from ARPA funds?
He is not included. We are looking at that on some of the other issues that they're dealing with that would be ARPA compliant expenses. The Attorney General is really not involved on a day-to-day basis with this. We do include him in some of the discussions, but he's got a very full docket and we really only bring him in when we need to.
Sure. And was there compensation also for the these team members with the CARES advisory money? Was there a payment to them from the CARES Act?
There was not.
Okay. So outside of their the other duties that these folks have, some of them being paid by the nation, this is extra compensation for them from the ARPA funds, correct?
The only one that is currently right now, the only current employee that is receiving money from ARPA would be myself.
Okay, so I thought we had Lacey Horn included with some ARPA funds.
She's listed under the professional fees as Native Advisory. That's Lacey Horn.
With ARPA funds, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. Congresswoman Stabler?
Well, I was just making the comment that we think they have an add-on figure that they'd like to place under other. Other than that, I'm ready to go ahead and push it forward.
So I would like to ask another question to Andrea Kimball. Will our folks be able to still walk in and apply for the ones that, for the direct assistance?
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, right now, a part of our administrative plan is that tribal members can apply online with our consultant once we execute an agreement with them. We have had several discussions with RT Consulting, but we have not executed that agreement just yet for this project because we're waiting on the final appropriation. But the administrative plan is that we have type of a hybrid. So people can apply online. Those folks that can't apply online can still fill out a paper application and walk in to the Welcome Center or mail that in to the Welcome Center, and we'll still help them complete their application and get it to the consultant. So some of those are a couple of those temporary full-time positions that are being discussed in this budget are also for that service to the people. Once this program opens to Osages Everywhere, if they're unable to access the internet or, you know, apply online, they can still come in and get that one-on-one customer service, you know, with the existing teams and new temporary employees.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so what does the committee want to do? Is that you,
Walker.
Congressman Walker? Go ahead.
So I'm a little bit concerned about only appropriating 2 months. I realize we're going into our budgetary session in September. I would be equally as hesitant, maybe even more, about appropriating the entire $10 million for the next 5 years. I just think that we need to consider maybe a compromise and appropriating the next 2 months along with the next fiscal year. There was also a comment made earlier about needing to add some money in other. That amendment hasn't taken place, although it can be done on general order day two. I just think we need to have a little bit more discussion, just me. If the majority feels otherwise, then so be it. But have a little bit more discussion about appropriating now at least the next 14 months, especially when we're trying to bring in these professionals and execute these contracts, and they're going to ask a question, is the money there and available? Well, yes and no. It's not been appropriated by Congress, which is required, but they've said that they're going to. And as far as that goes, we get into next year, and the task force realizes some additional needs. It can be amended into the appropriation. I think we need to consider appropriating at least 14 months.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. I think I could see that definitely under the professional fees with the contract. The salary piece, not so much because, well, so here's my question too, is with regards to, James, this is for you, with the attorneys that are involved. It sounds like we've got three attorneys, Mullins, Luthi, and Terry Mason. What would they be doing for 14 months? I mean, now that we vetted that they vetted the projects, I could see keeping Lacey for sure, but of course this is up to you guys, but what would they be doing with regards to ARPA past vetting the project? Is there anything else that we're going to expect them to be doing?
Casey, were you going to answer that?
Say again.
Casey said something. I didn't know if he was going to be answering that.
I'm trying to see if my microphone is working or not. I've tried to get in a couple of times, but.
I can hear you, Casey. Go ahead.
Well, I just got it fixed somehow. I don't know what I did. But I'm sorry. Go ahead and restate the question. I was messing with the computer.
Okay, so my question is, we've retained, it looks like, three lawyers, Mr. Mullins and Luthi and Terry Mason Moore, and I'm just wondering, what would they be doing other than vetting the projects that we've already have submitted to Congress? So what other legal advice would they be providing with regards to ARPA? And we also have Lacey. I'm just trying to figure out what the attorneys would be doing for us.
So
next year, next fiscal year.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry if I'm extremely loud. Apparently, I've got to talk super loud for this thing to hear me. So we call them constantly for advice. We meet with them weekly to get updates on everything that's going on, especially with Ms. Horn. She's up there at Treasury, so you know, she is an extremely valuable resource. But these things are constantly changing. So when we have questions, we call them, and you know, you've talked to Chief just like I have. Every time those guys pick up the phone, they start keeping the little minutes, and they start keeping the little minutes and how, how much that's costing.
And also, I want to add, if you remember under CARES, you know, we're still awaiting the final rule, which hopefully will be here in the next couple of days or weeks. Once that final rule comes out, the Treasury will continue to issue frequently asked questions throughout the program period. And that was actually a little difficult because you would read the final rule and you'd say, oh, well, 1 + 2 = 3. And then the FAQ will come out and say 1 + 2 = 5. And then you've got to pivot. And it's a constantly evolving process, even with the Treasury Department.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just want to make sure that, okay, committee, I want to kind of know, it's 11:22. What do you guys want to do? You want to keep this in committee, or are you guys ready to send it out? Because if we do amendments, it'll have to be on the floor without any more discussion. I'm open. However, I just feel like that there's more things that they need. Congressman Walker mentioned including the next fiscal year. I mean, and I'm open to compromise here as well, but I just would like to know what my committee thinks right now about this piece of legislation.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll go along with you and Congressman Walker, and if we want to go ahead and amend in that next year, then I can move to, willing to postpone to the call of the chair.
Madam Chair, I would agree that we should at the next fiscal year, so I'd be willing to hold it here or postpone it for that reason.
Okay. Congressman Tillman, do you have any thoughts?
I'm fine either way. Are we going to hold it here for the adjustment for the 2 months? Are we holding it here so that we can appropriate the next fiscal year? And just the other question, this 2 month budget looks fine. And would it be possible to address the next fiscal year in CISO session?
Well, I that's how I have this presented, is for this fiscal year, but I feel like we're okay to compromise and allow them, especially on the contracts, because, you know, we don't want RT Consulting. They may come back with a number, and we just want to make sure we have a contract in place and the money, you know, that money would be obligated at that point. Yes, go ahead.
Everyone, whenever I originally submitted the $10 million for the full program period, second speaker asked me to submit a 1 year budget, and I did send that to her, and then she's requested just FY21 budget. So I have the numbers here if you needed a figure for an amendment, if anyone's interested.
James, is the year, that's not for the 10 million though, is that right?
No, the One year, I came up with a figure of 2,070,000. That's roughly over 5 years. That would be the 10 million. 2,070,000 plus the 344,000 is 2,414,826. And that would be for 14 months.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead. I think Congresswoman Stabler was next.
Well, I'll yield to Casey, and then I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead, Case.
I'm glad Congressman Walker brought up a compromise. The one thing that has concerned me about just appropriating the 2 months, if for an example, the individual payment passes Congress, I don't know that we have the money to start issuing the checks with our consulting firm, and I'd hate to wait an extra 2 months until that money got appropriated, you know, in CJO, because it would delay those payments by another 2 months. I mean, that's the only real big thing that bothers me. I don't know the answer. You know, I don't know if we have enough to start that or not.
Go ahead, Chair. I move to postpone ONCA 2169 to the call of the chair.
Do we have a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, ONCA 2169 will be postponed, and I'll go ahead and set another meeting, but also in the meantime, get with James so we can make sure we try not to leave anything out. So the next item on our agenda, committee, is adjournment.
Move to adjourn, Stabler.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay. Thank you, committee. I appreciate you. Thank you, James, and everybody on the call.